Good morning, everyone. This morning, we would be continuing the series on Journeys with Jesus. Before I continue, I just want to acknowledge Ray, who was able to give me material to sort out this bridge. And I will ask Terry to come to read Matthew 17, verses 1 to 13. In the Bibles that's at the back, it's page 683.
So Matthew 17, verses 1 to 13. The Transfiguration. And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John his brother and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah, talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make 3 tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, Rise and have no fear. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, Tell no one the vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead. And the disciples asked him, Then why do the scribes say that first Elijah must come? He answered, Elijah does come, and he will restore all things. But I tell you that Elijah has already come, and they did not recognize him, but did to him whatever they pleased. So also the Son of Man will certainly suffer at their hands. Then the disciples understood that he was speaking to them of John the Baptist.
Thanks, Terry. The title of this sermon is Peter Gaining Perspective. And the point that I would be talking about would be Peter's perspective in what he saw and understood, that Jesus is unique, there is none like him. And secondly, Peter's perspective in what he believed, that Jesus has all authority. Most of you all might remember these sort of phones. Now we have, moved on. But what I'm going to share relates to when we had this sort of phone. A few years ago, my niece lived with Terry and me. It was around the time when mobile phones were quickly becoming a must-have possession. One Saturday, as I was cleaning downstairs, I heard the door open. Then there was a loud sobbing and someone climbing the stairs. It was my niece, who had returned from the high street. Frantically, I called out to her, What's happening? What is wrong? I quickly dropped the duster and ran upstairs, 2 steps at a time, heart pounding, thinking the worst, that she was hurt or assaulted. I dashed through the bedroom door, ran to her, continuing to ask, What has happened? But she was so distressed she could not speak. I can remember my eyes scanning her body, checking for injury. Blood, something life-threatening. Eventually, she uttered between sobs, My phone. Sometimes when a situation is so unbelievable, it takes the brain time to recalibrate. I could feel that happening to me. As I said, your phone? Again, between sobs and labored breathing, she replied, "Yes, Auntie, my phone stopped working." I stood there in awe, speechless, trying to make sense of what I just heard. That this drama was about a phone, not a fatality or anything life-threatening. I share this story to highlight that our perspective about life, about possessions, events, can inform how we act and respond. Similarly, our perspective about Jesus Christ is important in the way we honor and glorify him with our lives. Peter's perspective in what he saw and understood. Today we consider this. As we reflect on this, I pray that we will also examine our perspective of who Jesus Christ is to us, and that we will be obedient to what the Holy Spirit reveals as we listen to him. We are told that Jesus takes three disciples with him to a high mountain: Simon Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Although James and John are present, I will be focusing on Peter's experience and his change of perspective. In order to understand chapter 17 more clearly, we will quickly look at Peter's confession in the previous chapter of who Jesus Christ is. In chapter 16, Jesus asked two direct questions to his disciples. He asked, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" The answer he receives is, "Some people say you are John the Baptist. Others say Elijah, Jeremiah, possibly one of the prophets." But then Jesus focuses his question to a more intimate inquiry as he questions his disciples, those who are closest to him. He asks, "But what about you? Who do you say I am?" In response, Simon Peter answers, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus then blesses Peter and highlights that Peter's answer did not originate from human knowledge, but from God the Father. So we now return to chapter 17. Simon Peter, James, and John are on the mountain with Jesus. There's nothing unusual about this. After all, the disciples often accompanied Jesus when he retreated to the mountain to pray. But on that day, in full view, something they could not imagine or fully understand occurred. Jesus was transfigured. Verse 2 states, "His face shone like the sun. His clothes became as white as the light." I want you for a moment to close your eyes and picture this event. The word transfigured refers to a transformation, not merely a change in outward appearance. Jesus became so bright in appearance that, like the brightness of the sun, it was difficult to look directly at him. On that mount, Jesus' heavenly glory was revealed. The three disciples were given an insight of his identity as the Son of God and his future destiny. The man they ate with, traveled and lived with, was not just another man. What they were seeing and experiencing confirmed he was the Son of God. Have you ever had a shocking experience, and before you can process or recover from it, another shocking experience occurs? Well, I want to believe in two further quick successions, this is what happened next to the disciples. Witnessing Jesus' glory was already mind-blowing. But just then, Moses and Elijah suddenly appear and start to converse with Jesus. Still in shock, Peter, a fisherman accustomed to practical tasks, suddenly gathers his wit and begins to strategize. He calls out to Jesus, "My gosh, aren't you lucky we are here? I have a plan. If you wish, we will build 3 tents, 1 for each of you. You just leave it to me." For Peter, with his Jewish background, it indicates how important he regarded this event. Each year, for 1 week, the nation of Israel will celebrate harvest with a festival known as the Feast of the Tabernacles. For this festival, shelters to live in would be built. This was done to remind them of those events in their early history, when God, having rescued them from Egypt, led them through the wilderness. During those days, all Israel dwelt in tents until God gave them a permanent place to reside in, the Promised Land. So Peter, sensing that something momentous was taking place, wanted to mark the occasion by building similar shelters. For the appearance of Jesus with Moses and Elijah must indicate something very important was happening. Moses and Elijah speaking with Jesus was not by chance. For this signified the old covenant being replaced with the new covenant, Jesus Christ. When the Israelites were liberated from slavery in Egypt, Moses was appointed by God to lead them. God gave the 10 commandments to him for Israel. Moses spoke directly with God and interceded on behalf of the Israelites. Elijah represented the traditions of the prophets in the Bible. He spoke with authority on behalf of God, guiding, correcting, and calling the nation back to covenant faithfulness to God. Moses and Elijah represented God's authoritative revelation to Israel. Therefore, the meeting of these two important Testament, New Old Testament figures with Jesus serve to point us to the ultimate and final plan for man's redemption, the one and only Jesus Christ. These Old Testament figures were a foreshadow of the Messiah's coming. For before his death, Jesus said to his disciples in Luke 22:44, "Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." At this meeting with Moses and Elijah and Jesus, we see the representation of God's law, Moses, and Elijah, representing the prophets, interacting with Jesus Christ, the fulfillment of both. At the beginning, I spoke about Peter's reply concerning who Jesus was. "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," he said. However, Peter's understanding of what that really meant was not clearly realized. Why? Because Peter made the mistake of putting Moses, Elijah, and Jesus in the same category because of what he said and wanted to do. Only Jesus was transfigured, not Moses or Elijah. Yet Peter had not yet recognized or grasped the supremacy of Jesus Christ, that Jesus is unique. Like Peter, sometimes our intentions are well-meaning but incorrect. Our perspective is wrong. You might be wondering what this photo is about. Let me explain. When I was a student health visitor, one day my clinical tutor and I were returning to base. We were coming into the compound, about to ascend approximately 8 stairs to get to the office. There were no ramps. My tutor and I were in deep conversation about the visit we just did. At the corner of my eye, I could see a young woman descending the stairs. She had a baby in a pram, and she was maneuvering this pram down the stairs. As I looked, I could see this baby tilting forward. And I thought, something isn't right about this. This baby was leaning forward too far. The baby was heading for the concrete stairs. So at that crucial moment, what do you think I did? Did I calmly say to my tutor, "I'm so sorry for the disruption, but please excuse me. I am noticing an impending disastrous incident about to happen, and I think it needs my attention." No, because by then the baby would have fallen from the pram onto the concrete stairs, and the damage would have been done. In mid-sentence and in haste, I dropped my diary, and like a trained athlete, sprinted forward and towards the descending baby, which I caught in midair. That is a true story. You may gather by now that the mother had forgotten to strap the baby into the pram. There are times when God abruptly interrupts our plans because he knows it will not be in our best interest. Peter had a plan, but it was following the wrong concept and going in the wrong direction. His perspective was incorrect. God's response was to set the record right. For verse 5 tells us that while Peter was still speaking, a bright cloud surrounded them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." In the Old Testament, the cloud is an imagery associated with the appearing of God. For example, the pillar of cloud that led Israel in the wilderness, the cloud that descended on Mount Sinai when Moses received the commandments, the cloud that rested on the tabernacle at its dedication, all symbolizing God's presence. The descent of the cloud symbolized the approach of God. And as the voice of God spoke from within the cloud, this was a call for Peter to change his perspective. Not placing Jesus alongside Moses and Elijah, whose earthly mission was to lead and correct the people of Israel, and who themselves were created mortals, but recognizing Jesus alone as God's only Son who came to save the world. Peter's perspective in what he believed, that Jesus has all authority. In this concisely worded sentence, "This is my son whom I love, with him I am well pleased, listen to him." In this sentence, God the Father confirms who Jesus is to him and the Godhead. He asserts and proclaims his pleasure and delight over his son, emphasizing that he, God, was not just pleased, but he was well pleased with Jesus. And God the Father gives a direct command as well, and he gave Jesus Christ all authority when he said, "Listen to him." This leaves no place for debate, suggestions, recommendations from us or any other. In this amazing incident, God bypasses Moses and Elijah and indicates that Jesus is now the one who is to be heeded. "Listen to him," he says. Jesus' authority to speak for God is placed above that of Moses and Elijah. He speaks with greater authority than the law and the prophets. Jesus' unique relationship with God gives him unique authority to speak for God. Philippians 2, 9-11 says, "Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow." As the fearful disciples lay face down, terrified and trembling, you would notice that Jesus made the first move. He came, he touched them, then he spoke to them. And as the disciples lifted their heads, it was only Jesus they saw. It was important that Peter and the disciples recognize the superiority of Jesus Christ, that he is unique, he has no equal, no rival, that all authority has been given to him. As they descended the mountain, Jesus instructs them not to tell what they have experienced until after his resurrection, because he knew what they were learning and experiencing will only be understood in light of the Easter event. So they must wait. Until then, they must keep what they know secret. So what can we draw from the scriptures today? To fully understand the Bible, we need to grasp the relationship of the Old Testament as of that of preparation and the New Testament as that of fulfillment. For in Matthew 5:17, Jesus said, "Do not think I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." Peter's perspective of Jesus Christ was challenged and corrected by God. Although Peter's initial reply was correct, his actions and understanding were still misaligned. For Jesus was and still remains the one radiant with the glory of God. He is the one whom God approves, appoints as his spokesman, and has given him all authority. So listen to him, God says. In this series of Peter growing as a follower of Jesus Christ, we have looked at Peter's decision to follow Jesus, how he grew in faith, and now how his perspective of Jesus has changed. Like Peter, do we need to change our perspective of who Jesus is? Does our actions and words reflect Jesus' uniqueness and authority as the Son of God? Do we give him the reverence that is due to him? Are we living lives our way because we refuse to obey and listen to him? These are questions to ponder on. Let us pray. Jesus Christ, we thank you for the privilege to know you as we read the Bible, pray, and wait on Holy Spirit to reveal more of who you are to us daily. We are sorry for any perspective we have of you which does not recognize and give you the honor of most sovereign holy God, the only Savior and Creator of heaven and earth. Today and always, we acknowledge you as the Son of the living God. As we listen to you, help us to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow you. Amen. Thank you.